Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Abba Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
What's up, everybody? It's been a crazy Monday. I'm tired. I've been acting very petty today. Oh, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's the temperature like where you are? Because I have people that are on the West Coast that it's really, really hot outside.
It has been really, really hot. It was 90 yesterday. Today it's 77. Well, it's 77 right now. So.
Okay. Yeah. So it's hot for you too. Because I guess in California, it's been like over 100 degrees, which I think is insane, right?
It was like 98 the day before yesterday and then 90 yesterday.
Oh, you're hotter than us.
But it's supposed to be 80 degrees tomorrow. And then the next day, it's only supposed to be 58 and rainy. So welcome to Oregon.
That's crazy. I mean, it's just 90 every day here. So.
Well, we're on fire again. There's like 18 new fires. So.
Oh. That's not good. Heat and fire don't mix. I've learned that. Heat and fire are the worst.
We're supposed to get rain, so that's good. We're just hoping there's no lightning with it.
Yeah, we had nothing but thunder, lightning, and rain all day today. So,
and knock on wood, hopefully my internet isn't affected yet. So,
oh no.
I was stressed all day, but we're good.
So I want to talk about this episode 11, The Other Way. We got a beginning scene with Sarper and Sakina, and I mean, I did like that Shekinah was stern and she wanted to let him know that it wasn't okay. But one thing that triggered me, right? Like, I got a little triggered because he sat there like a little wounded bird, like a little sad puppy, and he wanted her to feel bad for him. And I was like, I'm still waiting for the apology. Because I was like, you ripped her hair out of her head. You took her phone away. You scream at her. You acted like a complete psychopath. And then you got the audacity to sit here and he's like, you don't understand my pain. And I'm like, what pain? You literally attacked, you assaulted her. Like, technically you should be in jail, right? She was nice enough to not have you thrown in jail because that's where you should be. And then you have the audacity to sit there and be like, do you know what it's like for me? I can't sleep. And I was like, this is such typical abusive men 101.
Yep.
Where he can treat you like garbage, hit you, scream at you, make you feel unsafe, barricade you in the house, lock you away, take your phone away. But he's the wounded, sad puppy in this situation. And it really got underneath my skin because I just don't like that form of manipulation where the women feel like, well, I can't be too mean or hard on him because I don't want to hurt him. And it's like, no, you need to teach this thing, he's not even a man, this thing a lesson that if you put your hands on me, you're going to see the inside of a jail cell. I don't care if you love me. I don't care if I love you. And it's like, it just triggered me. And I was like, here we go again with this damn abuse on these shows. And I was like, when did this become the norm? Like, I've been watching since, you know, season one. And, you know, we saw people yell. We saw screaming. We used to see drinks thrown at people, you know, very minor stuff, but like now we're seeing people physically attacking each other and it's like I'm not entertained. Like I was so angry when he was sitting there not apologizing to her. I was literally screaming at my TV. Yeah, like I wanted her to just get up and leave. I was just so angry because I was like, just call the police and say this man hit you and leave. Like, I'm so sick of this shit.
Well, one thing he said, so he says, you don't even feel sorry for me. First of all, what a dumbass. Second of all, she says, I have to put my foot down because I don't want my daughter to be treated blah, blah, blah. Well, your daughter's already seen you go through the abusive bullshit. I mean, while you shipped her off and left the country. But do you really care what your daughter sees? She's already seen the bullshit you're going through. But aside from that, you're teaching your daughter all about, if you have body dysmorphia, you just have surgery and fix it. And then have more surgery and more surgery. You can't talk about setting a good example for your daughter when you're out there setting the shittiest example possible and you're sending her off to boarding school. None of that makes
sense. I mean, setting the example, I think that shit kind of failed in the example journey avenue. Like, that street has been, it's been under construction. Now they just tore it down. Like, it's gone now. Like, setting an example, because she told us that she had already been in an abusive relationship before. And I think, another thing that triggered me, when she was talking about her past, she was like, he started touching me aggressively. And I was like, if you don't call hitting you and abusing you what it is, it just really pissed me off. Because she was minimizing the last relationship abuse. She's like, he touched me aggressively. I was like, what does that mean? That just means he hit you. Yep. Don't stop minimizing this behavior. And she's minimizing it for the men, which is even more scary. It means that she thinks that it's okay. And I was like, if someone touches you aggressively, that's still called assault and they still need to go to jail. You know, like, the police don't say, well, did they hit you or did they just touch you aggressively? There's no difference. Yeah. If you put your hand on somebody and you shouldn't do that, you should be arrested. So it really bothers me because she's so accepting of the behavior. She's normalized it, and she makes excuses for the men that do it. And I think that that's really scary. I'm scared for her because she'll know that she's in a bad situation, but she won't leave. Like, because we know how this is going to turn out. We know that she brought him over here, and we know that men like that don't change.
Yeah.
We know that you don't go from aggressive, violent behavior to being a nice, sad puppy or a happy puppy. No, you turn, it gets, we know that it gradually gets worse and worse and worse. That behavior does not, like, subside.
Yeah.
It grows. Yeah. And it's just scary because if that's what he does when he's upset. And what really got me, somebody asked on X, they're like, well, why were they fighting? And I was like, and I thought about it. He got upset because it was their same birthday. She bought him a present or two and he forgot. So he wanted to not get caught for not purchasing her a present, and he wanted to go buy her a vanity, which she had already told him four times she didn't want, and then he assaulted her because of that.
Yep.
So can you imagine, you buy your fiance a present for his birthday, he doesn't get you one, so his reaction is to assault you. Like, where what part of this sounds like a healthy relationship to anybody involved? Because I was like, when I had to explain it back to someone else, I was like, this sounds even more crazy, because they were at dinner having a good time. He realized he forgot to buy her a present, just yells at her, and then rips her hair out of her head. Like, telling the story back, it made me even more angry, right? I was like, this makes me even more angry. The fact that she even met and talked to him after that, it's just, she really needs to work on her self-esteem. She needs to know her self-worth. She's worth so much more, and she doesn't even see it. You know, she's beautiful. She could be gorgeous if she would leave her face alone, but she's a beautiful woman and she does not deserve to be treated the way that she allows men to treat her. This man weighs her. When she eats, she wakes up the next morning and he weighs her to make sure that she's not too fat. Like, I'm so triggered. Like, I don't know why TLC, they want to trigger me, but I was yelling at my TV. I was like, I don't want to be triggered, but that's what they do. Sarper and Sakina, they trigger me.
Absolutely. I'm so pissed off as soon as they enter the screen. I can feel my blood boiling before they start talking. I'm just instantly pissed. Just like when I see Angela, I get so angry. And the same way when we had Nicole and Mahmoud, it just angers me as soon as they get on the screen, because I know what they're doing, what they're going through, and how we're just supporting it.
Like,
this shit's ridiculous.
You know how when is messy, like, I have friends, and when I see them coming to me, I'm like, here they come with that bullshit. I see Sarper and Sakina, I'm like, see, here they come with that bullshit. I'm so close, but since they're making us watch it live, I can't always fast forward when I see them. So I'm just like, I'm like, I know they're about to come with this bullshit. And I know it's gonna get on my nerves. So I'm like, so close. Like, I remember I told you with Ed and I don't remember who he was with. I skipped through their story. They just trigger me, and I don't want to be triggered. I want to be entertained.
Yeah.
I don't want to be triggered. And I feel like they're pushing me to that point where I just don't want to be a part of it. They can be in their toxic, abusive relationship. Just leave me out of it. I don't want to participate or support or condone whatever the hell they got going on, because it's just irritating me.
Yeah, I agree. I feel the same.
So Statler and Dempsey were crossing over to Europe. So they had to get on a boat. Now, you know how I feel about large bodies of water and boats.
I was literally thinking about you as she said this. I thought, okay, I know for a fact George would go on this. And George hates water. But he wouldn't be a little bit bitch about it.
The way that the boat was set up, the way you could drive on and you could stay inside and you don't need to look outside, and I think she said it was 30 minutes. I would do it. Yeah. Okay, I would do it.
Statler said she thought it was 30 minutes, and Dempsey said it was actually 100 minutes, which was a lot of minutes.
That's a lot for me. If I could go somewhere inside, like if there was a restaurant, if there was like a casino, I think I saw slot machines. If there was something that I could do where I don't have to look outside, I could be okay. Yeah. You know, I ride the boats at Disney and Universal and all the theme parks. I ride the little ferry boats. I do all that stuff. So I can do the short distance. As long as I can see land, I won't like freak out. If I can only see water all the way around me, I will flip out. I don't think I would have like a massive panic attack the way that Statler did, but
But on that note, I have horrible anxiety. And when I have a panic attack, it's like emergency room worthy. So watching her say, I'm having a panic attack, bullshit. You're standing there being a little crybaby bitch, and that's it. You are not having a panic attack. You want your way.
Whoa.
And if it was that traumatizing, you would not stand next to the rail.
Well, that is true, right? Like, I have anxiety and I have had panic attacks, and it affected my breathing. I had to be like, I couldn't walk. I was like laying out on the ground and I was like struggling to breathe with panic attacks. So yeah. I do know a panic attack is not something that you can really, the way that she said, oh, I'm just having a panic attack, leave me alone. A panic attack is almost, it's almost debilitating. Like if you're driving, you have to pull over.
Yes.
If you can't really do anything else. And for someone to say that they're really scared of water, for her to go out there and stand out and watch the boat, that's something that I would never do.
Yeah.
You know, like I have, like I can't swim and I'm scared of large bodies of water. So yeah, when I do get on the little ferry boats and stuff, I go inside in the belly part where you don't see out. And I can feel the vibration. I know what's going on. Looking at it is not going to help me. Right. Like I feel like for people who are scared of, like, I have a friend that's scared of birds. So, like, there's low-flying birds. Yeah, and so whenever we're walking and there's birds, we just go under an enclosure, somewhere where you don't have to just be out. You don't expose yourself to it, right? Like, exposure therapy is something you need to do with a trained professional. You don't just go and expose yourself to your deepest, darkest fear and then just try to get through it. Like, the way that she stood there and just looked at the water and said she was there, I was like, see, that's not how I would handle that, you know? And I do think that Statler, what's the nicest way to say this? I think Statler is, I think she's like victim mentality. Like it's always like, you need to feel bad for me and everything is about me and you should cater to me. And again, I think this has to do with her being adopted. I think that when she was felt rejected by her birth parents, and even though she has amazing parents, I've heard stories about how her parents took her in, taken amazing care of her, treat her like their own. It's still like a mental thing that she feels rejection. And I feel like she needs to always be the center of attention, because growing up, she didn't have that love of her parents and that acceptance of her parents. And I think it has a lot to do with that. And I think that the way that she acts and she screams at other people, you know, you are too nice to all of them, Shabuti Russell. Well, yeah, I mean, Sad Bunny, I am a little nicer. I kind of like to give people the benefit of a doubt. You know, I do roast people every now and then, but I try to give people the benefit of a doubt. I like to have a logic to it. Like, I don't want to just go online and say Statler is a crazy annoying person and it's a, and she should stop. I do like to try to analyze it and see if maybe there's a method or a reason for the madness, right? And I think Statler, she's got a lot going on mentally, physically, financially. Like, I think she took on a lot. And I think that her reaction, like, I didn't like the way she was screaming and yelling and being so nasty to Dempsey, right? Like, when somebody is in distress, it is a natural human reaction to try to comfort that person, right? Like, she was like, oh, you're unstable, you're uncomfortable, let me try and make you feel more comfortable. And Statler's like, can you get out of my face? Can you get away from me? Do you have to be all in my, like, there's a, you can just say, hey, can I just have like 5 minutes alone? You don't have to just be nasty. And I think Statler, yeah, that's her go-to. She's just nasty when she's upset. But again, I think it's a defense mechanism. I don't think that she's just a nasty human being. I think that that's just how she gets.
I think she's a nasty human being.
Really?
If I'm in the middle of a panic attack, I don't care who's trying to help me, who's being mean to me, what's being said around me. I can't argue with you. I'm in the middle of a panic attack. That literally feels like the life is being sucked out of my body. I don't know if I'm going to come out of it. I couldn't argue with someone and just sit there and say, well, you this and you that and blah, 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 while I'm watching the very thing that put me in the position right. that I'm in.
Like, You're right.
She's nasty. She started the trip by saying, when Statler was so upset and she's saying, it hurts my feelings that you don't trust me. She immediately says, I never said that. Yes, you did. Last episode, those are the words out of your damn mouth. Are you forgetting that everything you say is being recorded and televised? You can't say you didn't say shit when it's on national TV. She's crazy.
She said that about something about the van too. Because Dempsey was like, we did have a conversation about the titling of the van and all this. And Statler's like, I don't remember saying that. That never happened. And she's like, well, that's upsetting. You know, because, and I think she does. She denies, if she doesn't like the outcome of something, she'll deny it. She'll be like, well, I didn't say that, even though she did. She just didn't think about it. And she said it and she prematurely gave an answer. And then when she doesn't like the outcome, she denies it. Like, she's like, oh, well, you're a liar and you're evil and you're a cheater and you're scamming me. And, you know, I feel like she's a self-sabotage too, because I'm not saying that her and Dempsey are like a match. I don't think that they are. But I do think that Statler always self-sabotages herself. Every time she tells us her stories about her past relationships, it usually sounds like she self-sabotaged the relationship. She's like, well, I gave too much, or I paid their rent and I gave them money to buy a house. And yeah, she always does something bad and then the relationship fizzles. So I do think that she's also a person that doesn't want to do, it's like a subconscious thing where you self-sabotage yourself. Some people have that, where you're your own worst enemy, right? Like your mind fights against you.
I totally agree with that. But also, as a good human being, if your partner's excited about something, it doesn't matter if it's going on a ferry boat or getting new shoes or something that's coming on TV. If your partner's excited, generally, you as a human enjoy that.
Yeah.
Enjoy to see your partner happy, excited about something. And she literally says, your energy's too high right now. So because it's something you don't want to do, you're taking that excitement. Misery loves company, the famous saying. And that's exactly what she's doing. Every time Dempsey's happy about something, Statler drags her down.
That is so accurate.
Every time.
It's so funny because I tweeted out tonight, I said, if Buzz Killington was a person, it's Statler. So I love that. It's so accurate because she is Buzz Killington. Every time Dempsey is excited or happy about something, here comes Statler killing that buzz. She's just like, oh, well, this van is too small and I don't know how I'm going to get internet and I don't know how we're going to pay. But like, whatever the situation is and it's positive, she's there to bring a negative light into the situation. And I was like, man, I remember, I don't remember, I think it was The Simpsons, whoever created the Buzz Killington character, and he was just always negative. I was like, Statler is like Buzz Killington. She waits until everybody is in a super good mood, and then she just starts ragging on it. Like, oh, well, this is a problem, and I don't like this. And it's like, she's the person that I don't invite to stuff. Right, because I don't want somebody to come and kill my mood. If I'm trying to have a good night, Statler's not coming, because Statler's gonna come and she's gonna piss all over my good night. So yeah. I think that you nailed it. She's just a negative person in general. Like, no matter the situation, things can be going well. Things, no matter good or bad, she's always sees the negative.
Yeah.
You know, there's glass half full, glass half empty people. She's a glass half empty all the time. She always sees the negative in whatever the situation is.
Yeah. Her glass is broken.
Okay, so negative Nancy, Debbie Downer. Oh yeah, that's yeah. Buzz Killington is like a Simpsons character. I was obsessed with Simpsons, but yeah, negative Nancy, and I think Debbie Downer, they did that on Mad TV or Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to talk about Sean and Joanne, because they're stalling. They got the kids there. They rented an Airbnb. So I have a question. Did we know that Sean lived with his mom before tonight? I didn't think so. So there's like more red flags popping up with Sean left and right. Like, I thought it was weird when he was like, when we first met him, he's like, if anyone wants to know what my job is, I'm a dad. And I was like, cool. So who's paying for shit? You know? So, and now I'm finding out his mom is paying for shit. So like, yeah. Now there's like all these red flags popping up for me. Cause I was like, they've been married for 3 years, whatever. That's one, neither here or there, but he lives with his mom. He doesn't have a job. What does he do all day?
Yeah.
Like, I have questions now, because obviously he's a fighter. I think whatever, I don't know if it's MMA over there. I don't know what type of fighting they have. But those people, I have friends that are fighters. They don't fight every day. I have friends that are MMA fighters that fight 2 or 3 times a year. And then the rest of the time they just train. So they have like a normal job, or, you know, they do things to make money in between their fights, because they don't fight. I don't think as a fighter, you're physically capable of fighting every week. Because you have to train, you have to make weight, you have to prepare yourself. So what the hell is this man doing all day? I'm just really confused. And now I'm beginning to wonder if Joanne is funding his life. You know, because obviously his mom is paying all the bills and keeping him and his daughter fed. But like, is she the one paying for all the tattoos and the clothes and for him to have a good life? Is this why he likes MILFs? Like, I'm getting like red flag after red flag now.
So now, not only is she just leaving her kids behind and moving to a different country, is she moving in with him and his mom?
Right. That's a great question. That's a great question. Because he clearly has not even an apartment. You know, at his age, I was like, I get it. You might not have a house in your early 30s, but you could have an apartment. You have a daughter. You know, like, you would want her to have her own. And I know a grandparent, you know, they're going to take care of their grandchild, whatever, no matter the situation. But I wonder, is he taking advantage of his mom? You know, is it that he could have had his own place, but he just doesn't want to, and he's now taking advantage of her? Because now she's taking care of a grandkid, too. Because if he doesn't have a job, you know, if there's a grandma in the house, the grandma's not going to let her grandchild suffer. So he's, like, taking advantage of his mom. And if he would take advantage of his mom, he would take advantage of Joanne, right? Like, that's pretty damn clear. So I just want to know, again, how much money has she sent him? That's like, I need to know. Like, I need to know how much. Is it like a monthly thing? Is it like, if that's whenever he asked? Like, how much? Like, now I'm just wanting to know why they ended up together, because she said that her business is pretty successful. I mean, all of the psychics say that, right? So we don't, I have never seen financial records, but she says that it's pretty successful. So I'm beginning to wonder if he picked her, because remember, they met during a reading. And and I'm beginning to wonder if that wasn't coincidental. Maybe he was like, oh, she charges so much for these readings. She's booked all the time. They just started talking, and he's weaseling his way into her financial situation, right?
She should have seen coming.
Well, yeah. If she's a real psychic, she should have saw in the cards that he's scamming her, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I liked him at first, but tonight was just a lot for me. When he's like, oh, I live with my mom, so I just got us an Airbnb. And I was like, back up. I was like, y'all have been married for 3 years. So in 3 years, you didn't have time to get a place? Because what if for some weird reason, her kids do like you and they do approve of her leaving the country, where the hell are y'all gonna go?
Yep.
You know, like, so now you have 3 years to prepare that. 3 years. So you have 3 years to save money. You have 3 years to make plans. You have 3 years to get a down payment for a house. You have all this time to prepare and you've done nothing. All you could prepare for them was an Airbnb, which you can literally book within 2 minutes with the, with your phone. So that's no probably planning at all.
Probably with her money.
Also, Gina says his job is taking money from MILFs. See, I'm beginning to think that because he said that his type is American MILFs. And, you know, him being a younger guy who is, he takes care of himself in decent shape. I think that it's very possible that he could swindle money out of an older woman, right?
Oh, he's good looking. He's definitely good looking. He doesn't look like he's had like a shitty hard life. He looks like he takes care of himself. I mean, I can see a lot of American women that would be attracted to him.
But do you think it's one of those scams where he doesn't ever want to come here? Like, remember, who was it? Mike and Amina. They're like the people that just like the support. Remember Mike was paying Amina's rent. She was never in a million years going to leave that situation. I think Amina had a man the whole time. I'm just being real. I think she had a man the whole time. Yeah. Mike was just paying the rent. Yeah. But I think that maybe he's not looking to actually get a green card. I think he likes his life where it is. He just is looking for somebody to fund it. And I think I don't think that he wants to move here. I don't think that that's ever really a thing. And I kind of think in the back of his mind, he knows that she can't leave. You know, she's got an 8-year-old kid. He knows that she can't leave and come live there. And I think that's an easy way for him to just keep her on the hook for sending money. I think that he knows deep down it's impossible. She's never going to be able to leave her 8-year-old son. If she's a good mother, she's never going to do it. Like, even if the son says it's okay, she's still not going to do it. And I know that her ex-husband is not going to let her take their son. I don't even know the man, but I know he's not going to let her take her son, his son to Ireland. I already know that. I know one thing about parents. Just because they're separated doesn't mean that either parent loves the child less. So I guarantee you, if she tries to take that child to another country for good, there's no chance it's going to happen. And I think Sean is like, yeah, I know she'll never be able to make this work. So I'm just going to keep love bombing her and keep getting as much money out of her as I can. And I think, Gina, you're right. There's a lot of other women involved. I think other women go to Ireland.
I mean, I think it's the same situation with Tiger Lily. So she went over there, she married him, and then she had to come back. She's got two littles, and he knew that, but she's wealthy. That's what these men are doing, is they're roping in these American women and legally marrying them in their country. So there's got to be some sort of financial support that has to be happening, because they know these women aren't going to leave their children behind and move over there. And I think he's a prime example of that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because, see, we were talking about that yesterday. 22-year-old model, that's code for broke, right? Like, first of all, a 22-year-old guy is usually not doing well financially. That's like too early on. Just like a 22-year-old girl. They're still in college, or they're just getting out of college, or just figuring shit out. They're not going to be able to support themselves, barely. I mean, I guess 15 years ago, they could a little more, but like now you're like 30 before you can support yourself. Like the world is like really different. So like she's basically taking on a third kid, you know, and that's kind of what Joanne is doing. She's taking on a third kid and then her third kid has a kid.
And I haven't done too much research into Joanne's ex-husband, but Tiger Lily's ex-husband is in a very powerful position. So even if she wanted to fight him, I don't think financially she would win. She might have a lot of money, but I think he's got a lot more. And I think he would have better attorneys and be able to fight that. Mother's not going to be like, okay, well, since I didn't
win, even if move the husband hates the ex-wife, they don't hate their kids. You know, and I've seen a lot of these custody battles where it'll just be like across state lines, like a state away. They will fight.
Yeah.
They will fight you. Not so much that they don't want you to be happy. It's more so much that you can't, because that's going to greatly limit the time that they have. Because, you know, a lot of dads or moms, they work a full-time job. So if you're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours away. They can't always make a 10-hour drive just to see the kid and then drive all the way back. So they're going to fight you because it's just, it's making less time that that child will be available for them. And that's not fair, you know? And I think if that's the case, Sean's pretty smart. You know, he's pretty smart. But he said in the beginning, he loves MILFs. And one thing about a MILF, she knows exactly what she wants. And she usually can take care of herself. And that's something that you would want if you're a male gigolo, basically. Like, if you're looking for a woman to take care of you, you would want a MILF. MILFs are a dream. You know, it's like sugar daddy, but in female form. They can take care of you. They can give you what you need financially. And if that's what he's doing, there's probably a lot of MILFs. Like, I think there's a rotation of women coming to Ireland, right? It's definitely probably a rotation. This guy is not a rookie. You know, like, I feel like he's doing, he's working his way in with the kids. And it's like, yeah, I get that you want to have a good relationship with the kids, but if she's never going to actually move over there, does it really matter how her kids feel about you? You know, like, it's not going to make or break anything.
You know, when her son said tonight, I don't know a lot about your relationship. I know that you guys are together, but I don't know a lot about your relationship.
Well, so. Well, remember, Sean's mom and daughter doesn't know anything about this either. Because at first I was like, well, he should have brought them all to the mom's house so everybody could get to know each other. But I think the mom might not be fully aware of what he's doing with all these different women. Right. So he probably rents the same Airbnb every time a woman comes out. So his mom, right? So his mom isn't catching on that he's got like a roster of MILFs.
Yeah.
That come out to see him and give him gifts and bring him, I don't know what they do, give him money. You know what? We saw this with Stephanie. When she was on the show, she would bring like $20,000 watches.
Yep.
Do you remember that? She would bring him all these gifts because she was his sugar mama. You know, and guys, if there's any sugar mamas out there, my DMs are open. Just send me a DM. Send us a DM. Let's work something out. You know, I'm not a prostitute or anything, but if you want to hang, we can hang. You know, like, you know, it is what it is. Like, let's just put that out there real quick. But I don't know. Tonight was like a red flag for me. I was just like, I don't know. I don't feel like this guy is legit. Like, when I found out, when at first, it caught me off guard too at first. And he's like, well, you don't want to know what my job is. I'm a dad. And I'm like, yeah, being a dad is a job, but also taking care of your family is a job. So, like, you should have two jobs. You should have a job, and then you should be a dad. So that I did a little head scratch because I was like, yeah, lots of dads are dads, but they also have a job to sustain that life. You know, you have to sustain. Children do not understand money. They don't understand finances. They don't understand mortgages. They don't understand that. They need to be taken care of. And to be a dad, you got to have a damn job.
Absolutely.
Oh, so Tata was crying again this episode. So I guess the thing on X is she cries in every situation. Yeah. And I was like, I think there's a drinking game that was going on X tonight where every time she cried, you drank. I didn't participate, as you can see, because I can still stand.
Yes.
But if you did, I noticed it as we were going along. She does cry in every situation.
She's the Jasmine of this season.
Wait, who?
The Jasmine of this season.
Jasmine. Yeah. You're right. Everything is a crying situation with her. And I don't know, that would give really tiring, you know, and I think that that's another victim mentality behavior, right? Like when you really want to get your way, because you know Jasmine, the waterworks started the second Gino wasn't saying yes. As long as Gino was saying yes, there was no tears. But whenever he didn't want to give her money for a pageant, or he didn't want to give her money for a lawyer, or he didn't want to give her money for new boobs or whatever, or a new ass cheek, you know, the tears would start falling, and I think it's a red flag for me because it's like a victim mentality thing. Well, also, yeah, the Diva Speak says she's extremely immature for her age. She looks young. Every time I see her, I forget her real age because, my God, she could be an 18, 17-year-old girl. She looks so young, but she's a grown-up.
Yeah.
But she is. She's really immature. And again, I think I said this before, she went straight from her parents' house to her husband's house, and she's never had to worry about taking care of herself. You know, she was never independent. And I think that plays a role because there's always been somebody to take care of her. And I think my mom taught me, she was like, you know, because I had a sister. She told my sister, you should always move out and get your own before, you know, you get married or get engaged, move in with a man. She's like, know what it's like to be responsible for you before, because she's like, don't just leave my house and go straight to some man's house. She's like, because then you're bound to whatever this person is offering you. If they don't want to take care of you, if they don't want to help you, they don't have to. So I think that since she never really had to be independent, she never had to look out for herself. I think it makes, you know, her mindset is of a child, because that's how children live. Children don't have to worry about who's going to pay bills, who's going to make food, who's going to buy food, because you're a child. Those things are beyond your realm of understanding. And I think that that's, she's still in that mindset of, because, you know, James is like, we need money. And she's just like, somebody's going to pay for stuff. You know, somebody's going to pay for something. That's irrelevant, because it's never been on her. It's always been somebody else's issue to worry about.
You know,
oh, no, she's not in her 40s. I think she's, like, in her late 20s.
She is. I was trying to look.
I think James is 34, and I think she's, like, 31, right? Something like
that. I'm trying to get her exact age.
How old?
I'm trying to get her exact age.
Oh, okay.
I have it.
I'm pretty sure she's, she looks much younger. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. James and Natalia.
Okay, she is, oh wait, nope. I just know that she's so upset about him tonight not wanting kids. You guys have been married for like 5 years and you lived in the United States. You can't tell me you've never had this conversation.
Oh, that's weird. I can't find her age either. But yeah, I think that, well, yeah, they've been married and they've lived in different places and they've traveled a lot. And, you know, they have like their travel Instagram where they've traveled around the world. And I'm beginning to wonder, is this like a storyline? Because, you know, James has that travel photography page. And I was like, adding a child into that, he's 100% right. It greatly influences your freedoms. You know, if you want to travel, you want to see the world, you want to do things. And I tell people all the time, if you don't want kids, don't have kids. Yeah. Because it's such a lifelong commitment. It's not like, it's not till they turn 18. It's not till they turn 21. It's forever. You know, if they're 35, 45, and they call you, you're going to pick up, right? Because that's your child. That's your baby, no matter how old they get. So when people say they don't want children, I respect that, because it's, if you're not ready to take a commitment that it's going to last for the rest of your life, you know, and then God forbid that child is born with like a disability or an ailment, you are going to have to take care of them and help them, you know? So it's like, if you're not ready to have a child, don't, you know? I think that it's such a horrible thing where people rush into having children and then they're like bound to something that their heart's not in, right? Your heart really has to be into having kids. And I think that James don't want them, and I can see that. And I respect that even more, because the worst thing you can do is have a baby and not take care of it or not be there for it or be a deadbeat. That's even worse. So at least he knows before that he doesn't want to get into that.
Yeah. And she is 27.
Yeah, she's like late 30s. Okay, yeah, I thought so, late 30s. Yeah, she looks like she could be 17,
yeah,
which is crazy because she's so tiny. She cries and she's soft-spoken and she's immature. But yeah, she's grown. Like literally grown, but I think it's greatly affected by the fact that she's never had to worry about herself. Someone has always been there to take care of her. She went straight from mom and dad, straight to her husband. And then, you know, her husband is very financially stable and financially educated. So I don't think she really ever knows what struggle is like. I think that she's always had people that were financially stable around her. So she doesn't even know what it's like to worry. So that's why when James is worried, she's not worried, because she's never had that feeling. She doesn't know what that is.
Yeah. I'm but so sad that we didn't get Josh and Lily this time.
Ugh. Yeah, we didn't get Josh and Lily this week. But it said in the preview next week that she's having to ask him for intimacy. And she feels like he doesn't want to have intimacy. And I think a lot of things with Josh and Lily are lost in translation. I think that a lot of their problems, they're not actually problems. It's just they're not communicating, and it's more so because of a language barrier. It's funny because Lily speaks really good English, but I don't know if she fully understands, you know, because in English, sometimes you have to read between the lines, right? Like you can say something and mean something. It has a deeper meaning. And Lily might be a surface English like speaker and understander. Like, she might only hear the surface of things. She doesn't go into that. Because, you know, we'll say one thing, but there'll be an emotional meaning underneath it. You know, and I think maybe she doesn't pick up on that. Because I don't think that he flew all the way over there for a woman that he doesn't want to have sex with. I don't think that's the case.
I agree. I've noticed it from the beginning, their communication. They have really good communication. But anytime there's a language barrier like that, even if you don't raise your voice when you're upset, if you start talking fast, English is hard to understand, even for people that their first language. Someone gets talking real quick and it's like, wait, what? And you know, you almost have to rewind or have a repeat or something. It's hard to understand. So if you know just the bare minimum to communicate, it's going to get hard. Just like if she was speaking to him in Chinese, you know, it makes me sad because I really like them as a couple.
Yeah, I do too. I think that, again, like I told you in the beginning, I don't know how compatible they really are, because I really feel like she wants a trophy husband that she can control and she can, you know, make feel bad. You know, I feel like she wants to be a dominant person in the relationship, and she wants to be the one, like, I have the money, so what I say goes. And, you know, some men are okay with that. A lot of times it works better with the woman dealing with the man that way, you know, but sometimes it doesn't work. You know, there's women who just don't want to be controlled. They want to go out and get their own money, have their own job. And if the man doesn't want to give them any money, he doesn't have to. You know, like, so I don't know if they're ever going to be compatible, because that 5-year period where he can't work is probably going to break them. Like, to be 100% honest, I think it's going to break them. 5 years is a long time to be fully dependent on another person when you were never dependent on anyone. Right. Yeah. Like, he was independent, owned his own home, had a good job. And now he's going to be fully independent on someone who makes sure they bring it up every second of the day that he's depending on them. I think that's what's going to eat it up. And I think after a while, he's just going to be like, I just want to go back home and get a job and live a normal life. Right. Like, I don't want to be made to feel bad that she spent $100 on my food. You know, like, it's going to eventually get old.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I caught part of Kelly Mack's live today, and he was on there, and she was asking him some questions, and I didn't catch the whole thing, but one thing she did say is, so are you in America or are you in China? And he said, you're just going to have to watch to find out.
Really?
That makes me think things might have gone south.
Yeah, that he's not in China.
Yeah.
Because technically, he can say he's in China, and it wouldn't break the NDA, because we know he's in China. So if he would, if he says anything other than China, that would break the NDA. So that would mean he's not. Yeah. So that's kind of sad. That's kind of sad. I did like them together. But again, I didn't think from the beginning, since it was going to be an imbalanced relationship, it was going to work.
Yeah.
The 5 years is too long. Like, I can't be fully dependent on somebody else for 5 years. I'm too independent. I've had my own place since I was 18, almost 19. I bought my own car at 19 I made my own payments. Like, I'm just too, I don't depend on people. And it's just, I don't like to ask people for stuff. So it's 5 years would be too much of a commitment for me to be dependent on someone. It's just not who I am.
Absolutely. Me too. So.
So I want to say, on Forbidden Love, we saw that Elmer and what's her name? Lindsay broke up. And it was like this big fight. And she said that there was a woman that Elmer was talking to. But she said something interesting on the episode. She was like, I don't have any actual proof that he's cheating on me. But he was going to her house, because I guess she put a tracker on the truck. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get your opinion on that. Like, how do you feel? Because they're married. This is a married couple. So if a husband is going to the house of a woman and not telling you, is that enough deceit to just say that he's cheating on you, because he's not being open and honest about where he's at? Yeah, the horse lady. Because I was like, no, it could be a friendship, but when you start hiding things, I think that's where the deceit and distrust comes in, right?
Okay, so I have a tainted opinion on this, but before I say that, I will say, I can't say that he was hiding. So she doesn't have any proof, first of all. Second of all, he owns this roofing company.
Right.
This is a contracted job. So he is contractually obligated to go there. If there is something going on where he repaired the roof and had to bring more materials or anything like that, he would still need to communicate with her. Now, people, she said something about him using a couple of emojis, smiley face emojis or whatever. She didn't say it was like heart emojis or the purple devil or an eggplant or anything like that. She said smiley face emojis. So I use smiley face emojis all the freaking time. So does my husband. So do my kids.
But, okay.
So does my boss.
When you're texting employees, like business-wise, do y'all use emojis?
I do.
Oh, so you do.
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, like, have a good day with a smiley face, whatever. But also, she said that they were messaging on Snapchat. Now, that's the part that sways me a little bit differently, because if I'm contractually obligated to you because of work, you can text my phone number. We don't need to Snapchat where the messages disappear. That part is off. I get that. So
let's say that Elmer wasn't having sex with this woman. Is the relationship just talking, like, because, you know, emotional cheating can be cheating too. Is that enough that she can't trust him anymore, that he would talk to another woman behind her back?
Okay, well, I'm sorry. She's talking all this shit about him, first of all. She put his business out there on national TV, how he's addicted to watching porn and blah, 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 and how he's, like, raising a child and he doesn't brush his teeth. So she already humiliated him on national TV. Then she puts a tracker on him.
Yeah.
So he's clearly got issues. He's not out there tracking her and all that shit. But like I told you yesterday, I did watch his TikTok live.
Yeah.
And he insinuated on there, without directly saying it, that she made it look like he was cheating because she was actually cheating. They have since divorced. Their daughter's 14 months old, and she is very much in a very serious relationship.
Right.
And posts it on social media. He is not in a relationship. He's not even seeing anyone.
Well, it would have to be somebody that she already knew, because the daughter is only 14 months old, and they were together when the daughter was born. So,
yeah.
And a divorce takes more than a few weeks to go through. So this relationship had to at least known each other while she knew Elmer, right? Like, I feel like, or overlap, some sort of overlap.
Yeah.
So that could be too, because you know what they say, the guilty dog barks first, right? So if she was out doing something wrong, when you're doing something wrong, you're always paranoid that someone is following you or doing something wrong too, because your conscience is very active, especially when you're doing something bad. When you're doing something you know you're not supposed to be doing, your conscience is overactive. Like, it's always making you feel like, oh, I have to pay attention to what people are doing, because it's you. It's actually, your mind is actually telling you on you, but you're projecting it onto other people. So it's very possible that, and I don't want to sound like rude, but Elmer is like 23, 24, but I feel like he's got like the mindset of like a 14, 15 year old. I don't know if he's capable of like being a liar and a cheater. Like, and being able to convince people that he's not. I feel like because when he's doing something wrong, because like when she would confront him about the porn on his phone, you know when you approach someone about something they did and they just look guilty before you even say anything? He just looks guilty. So it's like, if he really was doing something, it would be very obvious, because he was raised in an Amish community where you couldn't do anything, and then you got caught, you got beat, you know? So I feel like he has a conscience too. And I feel like, I don't think that he would be out there trying to sleep with everyone, right?
Yes.
That he met. I don't know. I don't get that vibe from him. And, you know,
but
I think
also,
that
watching Okay, watching this show, she makes him look like a total idiot. Like he's just stupid. He's got no common sense. Like he's just dumb, according to her. And that's how she makes him look. But then when you watch him on TikTok and you watch him do his lives in his apartment that he's established and talking about the roofing company that he owns, like
Yeah.
this guy's not stupid. He,
No.
if you listen to him talk outside of TV, he seems very mature. He seems like his shit is together. He had his daughter till 8 o'clock last night. Like he's a full-on dad. He's a full-on business owner. He's a grown-ass man. Like he's very different than what we've been shown on TV. So if you haven't watched his TikToks, you should totally go watch it because you're gonna see a different side of him and you'll probably like him. I really like the guy. I think he hit the nail on the head when he's saying all the things that she did and she's trying to turn the tables and make it look like he's bad.
I do need to watch the TikToks though, because yeah, on the show, she says a lot of belittling things. She's like, "Oh, you don't know how to shower and clean yourself." And she says a lot of belittling, demeaning things. And again, when you did something bad and you want people to be on your side, the best way to do that is to attack the other person, because you want the sympathy of the crowd. And I don't know, I felt like it was weird of her to want to marry a 23-year-old who had just left the Amish, because she should have known that the journey for him was going to be so much more difficult. Because first of all, he's adjusting to the English world, I think is what you would say. He's adjusting to being a completely normal man, like a normal guy, and then to go from not being able to date, no sex, no pornography, no even self-pleasure, to being married. That's a massive transition. Like, that's a huge transition. And the fact that she thought that he was going to be able to transition into that smoothly, that makes me wonder what's going on in her head. Like, what was going on in your head that you thought that he was going to adjust to being a married man and a father like
But
that?
also, you met him because you hired him to do a job on your roof. That's
Right.
how you guys met. So now every time he goes out to do a job and there's a female in the house, you're automatically going to be suspicious that that's what he's doing because that's how you met him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I hear people all the time, they'll meet a girl in like a strip club. Like, they'll go to Vegas and they'll meet their girlfriend in the strip club. And then every time she goes to work, in the back of your mind is, are there guys trying to pick her up? Because that's where you met her. And it's like, you can't tell her she can't go to work at the strip club because that's where you met her, right? So if it was an issue for you dating someone who works at a strip club, you wouldn't know her. So it's like, and it's the same thing. It's like, you can't tell people how to live their life because you're insecure about how you feel. So yeah, he came to her house. She picked him up as a roofer. She picked him up. And so her insecurity is he's going to other women's house, they could pick him up. Yeah, that could happen. That's your insecurity though. You, if you're married to a person, you have to trust that person. If you don't trust that person and you marry them, again, that's an issue that you have to deal with because you should have never married the person if you don't trust them. If you think that they're gonna, every time that they go to work, they're cheating on you, because that's what Angela did. She made Michael quit his job and stop working because there were females that existed in Nigeria. Who would have known? There are females like this. So he had to quit his job because her insecurity was if he's around other people, women, they're gonna cheat. And it's like, you shouldn't, if you really have that mindset, you're not ready to be in a relationship, let alone a marriage. Because if you think that every time the person leaves the house, they're cheating on you, you're not ready to be in a relationship. If you have to track
Absolutely.
them, if you have to track them, you shouldn't be in a relationship. You are too insecure in yourself to be in a relationship with another person, because trust is the number one main component. Some people think it's love. It's really not. It's trust and love, because you need to trust that this person loves you and trust that they're going to do right by you before you even love them. Because if you don't, if because marriage is you're hell, you're putting finances together, you're buying stuff together, you're building something. You need to trust that person. right? Exactly. Like, I don't care about love at that point. If you're going half on a mortgage, I need to trust you. Like, love is one thing, but I need to trust you because you could screw me over.
Absolutely. So even if you go half, man.
Well, right. So the season ended, and one thing that I wanted to point out, Chris still converted to Muslim, to Islam, even though him and Linza broke up. Linza went off.
So surprising to me.
I know.
I was shocked.
She went off on him, and I'm not like either on either side, because I kind of feel like I needed to see the messages to really understand who was wrong and who was right. But she really went off, because he claimed that. Do you think it was him?
She's wrong. She is wrong. This man gave up his family, moved out of state, switched religions for you, something that you wouldn't even consider doing for him. The day he's moving into your house that you got together, you tell him GTFO. Like, no way. He said someone hit him up. He responded, I have a girlfriend. I'm not interested. Okay. Read the message. Show the message. She wouldn't even give that opportunity. She just shut him down. As her friend or sister or whoever it was in the car is laughing and giggling about it, she is wrong. Mm.
I wanted to see the messages. I needed context. Because, you know, people reach out. You can't control who reaches out to you on social media.
Yes.
If somebody sends you a message, they can send you a message. It pops up on your phone.
First time responding to my DMs, I have like 700 freaking messages in my DMs.
Oh my God.
I'm so bad at it. I'll see a message come in. I think I'll respond later. Then I forget about it. And then 500 other messages come in. It pushes that one down. And then I never respond. And I look like the worst person. At least he took the time to respond and say, I'm in a relationship. Thanks, though.
Yeah, I agree. Because, you know, Rob, he was just answering back to the girls. He didn't say he was married. Okay. Yes. I think it was appearances approval. Photo mom, I think you're right. I think when the parents found out that he was moving into her apartment, they didn't like it. And I think that she needed to not allow him to move into the apartment. I think that you're on to something with that. All right. Yeah. We ran out of time. So we're going to come back next week for the Before the 90 Days episode 3. Oh, yeah. We're going to 3. And then we'll be back with... Oh, so Forbidden Love is over. So I wonder what's premiering, or was it Plathville? Maybe it was Plathville that premiered. Something should be coming.
Something else coming. I can't remember what.
Well, I don't know. Oh, I love a Mama's Boy. Mama's Boy is coming up next week. So we'll probably cover that. But yeah, we'll be back. Hopefully, fingers crossed, I hear from Dee Dee soon. We want to get Dee Dee back here. Make sure you're following. Make sure you're following Kara on social media. I'm going to tag her in this video.
We're going to have Elmer on soon. He just messaged me. So probably next week we can have him on.
Yeah. Or if he can do this week, let me know. And we can do an interview with him. Because, yeah, I have a lot of questions. Oh, make sure you're following me on all social media platforms. At George Massey, georgemassey.com. And we'll get your podcast. Type in the George Massey Show. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to my co-host, Kara. We'll talk to you guys really soon. Everybody have a good night. Bye.